our truth or my truth. There's a lot of things that are going around nowadays. Time magazine even just put out a last month's issue on, is there still truth? Does anybody believe anything? Is there anything that is concrete? Is there anything that is solid? Or is it just whatever we believe or whatever we want to believe or whatever we think or whatever we desire or whatever we want to do? So this morning, everything that I preach this morning, I will back it up with Scripture. Everything that I say today will come right out of the Bible. There's nothing in this that is my idea. There's nothing in this that is my opinion. It is all straight from the Word of God. And if we stay in the book, we'll be all right, amen, because the book is absolute. My opinions are not absolute because I can be wrong. The book is absolute. Amen. It says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God, as the Spirit gave them the utterance. And then we read where Peter begins to preach in Acts 2 and 14. And Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judah, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my word, for these are not drunk as ye suppose, seeing that it is but the third hour of the day, 9 o'clock in the morning. He said, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. Lord God, I ask you right now that your Spirit would move and flow in this place. Lord, that you would anoint my lips of clay. God, that your will and your way would be done in this house. Lord God, that you would solidify some things today, oh God. Lord, that your word would speak into our hearts and into our minds, oh God. Lord, we ask you right now that your Spirit would move and flow. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. You may be seated this morning. The day of Pentecost is not just a day that is named after our church because it's on the sign out front. The day of Pentecost is a holiday that was celebrated during the times of the Jews. The day of Pentecost represented the day of Passover. It was a day that it was 50 days after the Passover. That when they were in Egypt and they went through and they put the blood over every door and the death angel passed by, that this was 50 days after that the law was given. The scripture says that history states that it would have been 7 weeks from that day. So 50 days after that, they celebrated the first fruits on this day of the wheat harvest. It was the biggest celebration that happened in Jerusalem because the weather was great. Everything was perfect. People could travel. And so people from all over, literally the world, would come back to Jerusalem for this celebration. This celebration was a time when they would celebrate. They would celebrate what God had done in their lives. They would celebrate the first fruits and what had been given unto them. They would celebrate all of the blessings that God had placed in their life over the harvest and the good things that God had done. So they gathered together and they were there at that moment in time, but they had no idea. idea that God was doing something new. It was 50 days after the Passover that they'd received the law, now it was 50 days after Jesus had died on a cross. And now we look at the day of Pentecost, the same day that the law was given, the same day that Jesus Christ said, from this day forth, everything shall be new. That my kingdom has come and it has changed everything. That the Old Testament, when you look at the Old Testament, that is the Old Covenant. The word Testament literally means covenant. Jesus was ending the Old Covenant, and he was creating the New Covenant, the New Testament per se, as it was beginning to start. The day of Pentecost did not start on the day of Pentecost. It goes back to Luke 24 and 46 when Jesus said unto them, thus it is written. It says, and thus it is behoved Christ to suffer and rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are the witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Here's what you've got to understand, that when God made a promise, he's never backed off of a promise. He's never failed. He's never quit. He's never stopped. He told Abraham, I'll make your family that's of the sands of the sea. He told Noah that there's going to be a flood. And when it was over, he put a rainbow in the sky and said that it will never happen again. He told David that you shall be king and that your seed shall set up on the throne forever. It didn't happen till hundreds of years later when God robed himself in flesh and was born in a manger, when he became King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When God makes a promise, you can rest assured that he is going to fulfill that promise. So he says, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endured with power from upon high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven, and they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they continued in the temple praising and blessing God. It's Acts 1 and 4 where Jesus speaks to them again and says, being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When ye therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, what wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the time or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto them both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and into the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward the heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into the heavens? This same Jesus which is taken from you into the heaven shall come in like manner as ye have seen him go into the heaven, then return unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olive. It says, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath's day journey. We discussed what happened as Jesus stood there and he looked at them. They're talking about taking over Jerusalem. They're talking about freeing themselves from the Roman Empire. They're talking about being delivered. And Jesus looks at them and says, you don't understand what I'm doing. I'm about to leave this place, but the last thing that I want you to understand, that I am going to fill you full of my spirit. I am going to fill you full of my presence. Go to Jerusalem and tarry there. It's the Old Testament in Joel that says in Joel 2:28, and it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And upon the servants and upon the handmaiden in those days I will pour out my spirit. We're talking about the Old Testament. Jeremiah 31:33. He says, I will put my law in your inward hearts. It's Ezekiel 36:26. It says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give unto you a heart of flesh. And I will pour, it says, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. The Old Testament even speaks of the Holy Ghost. Jesus says that 40 days is past the resurrection. In 40 days, he stands and looks at them and they're ready to take over Jerusalem. And Jesus says, I don't think you understand what I'm really doing on this earth. As he begins to move, as he begins to float into the sky. It's scriptures like Matthew 3:11 that the disciples had to begin to wonder about when they saw this phenomenon. When these two angels stood and looked at them and said, it is time for you to go to Jerusalem and tarry there. When they begin to think about what they thought Jesus was doing and what Jesus was really doing. It's John the Baptist that said in Matthew 3:11, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with Holy Ghost. And with fire. It was Jesus that said in Mark 16:17, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. It's John 7:37. It says, in the last days, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake of the Spirit which they had believed on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. This is Jesus. We're not even going to get into the New Testament scriptures from Acts on today, after the day of Pentecost. We're talking about what Jesus said about the Holy Ghost. It's John 14:15 that says, if ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye knoweth him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live. Ye shall also live. At that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. A promise of saying that I'm coming back. A promise of saying that I will not leave you comfortless. It's John 26 and it's John 14:26 says, but the comforter, Here Jesus is talking about the Comforter again. I will not leave you comfortless, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. What are you saying? You're not going to leave, but you're not going to leave me comfortless. What's going to happen? I'm going to send the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. That's what the scripture says, whom the Father will send in my name. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Jesus says in Luke 24 and 49, and behold, I send the promise of my Father to you. But you sit in the city of Jerusalem until you are clothed with power from on high. It's John 20 and 21 that he looks at them and he commands them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. It's John 16 and 17 that he says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, that it is expedient for you that I go away. He says, it's important. You don't understand. I have to. I've got to leave. I can't stay here any longer. But Jesus, we want to hear you teach. Jesus, we want to hear you preach. We want to hear you tell stories. We want to hear you watch people be healed and delivered. Jesus, we've got things that we desire to see of you, things that we need to see done. And Jesus looks at them and says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you. It is important for you. It is necessary for you that I go away. For if I go not away, if I do not leave, if I stay here with you, a lot of us, if we were asked, would you rather receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost or would you rather be able to go and hear Jesus preach down at the convention center? A lot of people would say, wow, it would be awesome to be able to go and see Jesus preach at the convention center. If we could be told that we could go down to the Superdome in New Orleans, and that Jesus would be there, and it was going to be a packed crowd, and I had tickets to hand out today that you could go and see Jesus preach at the Superdome, we would get excited about that. That's what I want to do. I want to be close to him. I want to see him. I want to see miracle signs and wonders. That's what the disciples were saying. We need you here. We need you to stay close. We need you to keep doing what you're doing. And Jesus said, you don't understand. As long as I am here, he goes on and says, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. The Comforter, who did the Bible say the Comforter was? He said that the Comforter was the Holy Ghost. What was Jesus saying? It's more important for me to be in you than it is for me to be with you. It is more important for my spirit to dwell inside of you than it is for you to be able to go to the Superdome and to hear me preach. There's something powerful about when we understand I've got the power of an almighty, awesome God living on the inside of me. Yes! And what did he command them to do? As we already read in Acts 1 and 4, he told them to go and tarry in Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For truly John baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with Holy Ghost and fire. So they'd heard about it. Jesus had preached about it. The door had closed. They stood there gazing into the sky as one door began to close in their life. They thought that this Jesus was going to overtake Rome. They thought that this Jesus was going to deliver them. They stood there. This Jesus that can't even be killed is now ascending into the heavens, as they stood there and watched. And the angels say, why stand here gazing? Why stand here looking at the memorial? Why stand here looking at the monuments? You look as Jesus stood on the mountain, as Elijah and Moses came and spoke, and Peter, James, and John said, we need to build a memorial, a temple for what happened. Let's just stay where we're at. Let's just keep doing what we've always done. But the angel said, you can't stay here. God's got something more for you. You can't just sit and gaze into the sky and wonder about what happens next. God has already spoken. Jesus has given you the word. I will not leave you comfortless, but I will send the comforter. I will dwell inside of you. It's Colossians that says, for to them God would make known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery among the nations, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. There's something powerful about it as they begin to make up their mind. As 500 people stood there that day on the mountainside, as they begin to make their day's journey to Jerusalem. What's going to happen in Jerusalem? I'm not sure, but my Jesus said that he's going to fill me full of the Holy Ghost. I'm not exactly sure what's going to happen. I know there's a celebration that's coming up. It's the day of Pentecost. I'm not sure exactly what's going to happen, if we're going to be here one day or 2 days or 3 days or 6 days or 10 days, but all I know is that my God has given me a promise, and it's not just unto me, but it is unto all that is afar off. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was a part of that 500 that began to make that journey that day. As they walked, there were some that said, well, I've got other things that I've got to take care of. I've never heard of this Holy Ghost before. I don't understand what's going on or what's going to happen as the crowd began to dwindle. I don't know how many of them made it to the upper room that day, but on the 10th day, when they were in one mind and one accord, there was 120 of them there. The 11 disciples were still there. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there, and all of a sudden, something began to happen. Something began to move, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, there were all in one accord in one place, and suddenly there came the sound from heaven as a rushing, mighty wind. You've got to understand that when the Bible begins to talk about the wind, when the Spirit of the Lord moved upon the face of the deep in First Genesis, it's saying the same thing. And the presence of God began to move in that room. Something began to happen. It wasn't outside the walls where everybody was having fun and goofing around. It was where there was somebody that was hungry. It was where there was 120 that said, I'm not leaving until I'm changed. I'm not leaving until I get what my Jesus has told me about. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. God always has a sign with everything that he does. Abraham said, God said, I want to separate my people. And he asked Abraham that on the 8th day of every child that is born, to prove that they are his, that there should be a sign of circumcision that is brought to that child. I don't know why God desires a sign. I don't understand exactly why God chose tongues. One thing I do know is that when I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it was undeniable. The enemy has told me time and time again, you never received the Holy Ghost after that day. You didn't receive it. It was just something silly. It was hype. But I remember hearing words, a heavenly language that I did not know, something that my God God in heaven, my creator, had given me something that was special between me and him. It wasn't for everybody else around me. It was me and my Jesus at that moment in time. Devil, I had a sign that my God gave me. I surrendered my life. I surrendered my all. I let go of everything that I was, and God filled me full of his spirit with the evidence of speaking with other tongues. In a few weeks, I'm going to go through the New Testament time and time and time and time again, that when they find one, where you look and people say, well, look at Romans, all you've got to do is just believe on him. I'm sick and tired of people say, just believe, that this creator of the universe is so simple and so easy and such a servant to us that all I've got to do is just tell him that it's going to, no, there's got to be something that happens in me when I say, God, forgive me of every thought, forgive me of every word, forgive me of every sinful desire, forgive me of every action that I've committed, every thought, every word, everything I've seen or heard that's not of you. God, forgive me. There's got to be something that happens. There's got to be a change that happens in my life. Oh, look at the book of Romans. All you've got to do is believe. Well, how about we go and find out in Acts 19 what the man who wrote the book of Romans believed you had to do to be saved. He said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Have you been baptized in Jesus' name since you believed? There's something powerful about when you align yourself with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. 16 different countries are mentioned in Acts. The Cretes, the Arabians, they said, who are these men? What is going on? People from all over the world had ascended upon Jerusalem. People from all over the world had showed up for the Pentecostal festivities 50 days after the law had been given, the first fruits. But what they didn't understand is that 50 days earlier, on the same day that God gave the law hundreds of years earlier, is the same day that God changed the law. And 50 days after that, he changed the world forever. From that moment on, when he poured out his spirit upon all flesh. And these men begin to say, well, what is happening? What's going on? What are the words that are being said? I hear the words from the Arabians. I hear the language of the Cretes. What is happening here? And that's when Peter stood with boldness and preached a sermon like it never been preached before. Until that day, they would sit on a hillside and they would talk. But this day, Peter stood filled full of the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, and he anointedly began to preach. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, yea, men of Judah. I'm not talking about somebody that lived 500 years later. I'm not talking about somebody that wrote a book 7 months even later. I'm talking about somebody that lived with Jesus, somebody that breathed next to Jesus, somebody that hung on every word that Jesus spoke. If I'm going to believe somebody, I'm going to believe the apostles. And it was Peter that knew the heartbeat of Jesus. It was Peter that knew exactly what Jesus had talked about. It was Peter that stood there holding the hand of Mary, the mother of Jesus, who just received the Holy Ghost herself. And he stood with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken unto my words. For these are not drunk as ye suppose, seeing that it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that. What church do you attend? I attend the church that is that. I attend a church that still believes that you've got to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. I attend that church. This is that. That which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour in those days out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Well, that's just a one-time thing. God said that the flood would be a one-time thing. Never anywhere can you find anywhere in that word of God that he said the day of Pentecost is a one-time thing. You can't find anywhere in that Bible where God said, I will never do it this way again. No, he said, for this day forever it is changed. And from that moment forth, what did the disciples do? They went out, they prayed, they preached, and people received the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. The book of Acts is the only book that has not been closed. Read it for yourself. Why? Because it's still happening today. The book of Acts is being lived out in each and every one of our lives. It's Romans 8:9 that says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If the spirit of God dwells in you. But if anybody says, if anyone has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You're not his if you do not have the Spirit of Christ, if he does not dwell in you. This is Paul speaking. How does Paul believe? Go back to Acts 19. We're going to talk about it again in a few weeks. Repent. Be baptized. Be filled full of the gift of the Holy Ghost. Here he is. He's talking to a church that already has the Holy Ghost. The Roman church, he's not arguing with them about tongues and interpret. He's not arguing with them about tongues. He's talking to people that have already received the Holy Ghost. And he's letting them know, if the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone has not the Spirit of Christ, he is not of his. And if Christ is in you, indeed the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, and the one who raised up Christ from the dead shall also make your mortal bodies alive by his spirit who dwells in you. I read a scripture this morning in Sunday school, and I can't get over it, and I wasn't going to use it, but I've got to. Ephesians 1 and 17. It says that the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory of the inheritance in his saints. What is in his saints? What has been put inside of his saints? What dwells inside of his saints? And it says, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ Jesus, when he raised him from the dead and set him on the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And he hath put all things under his feet and gave him the head over all things to the church, which is his body, and the fullness of him that filleth all in all. You've got to understand that what he's saying is this God that lives inside of you. Some of you are saying, I need faith. I need power. I need strength. I need anointing. I need God to do something in my life. If you've received his spirit, you've already got it. Quit begging for something more. Quit begging for something else. He said, look, I've put him here. I've put him inside of you. You're filled with my presence, and he's got all power. He's above all principality. He's above all might. He's above all dominion. He's above every name, not only in this world, but the world to come. And also, everything is under his feet. Brother Pugh, I'm struggling. Who are you? You are of that which the prophet Joel spake. You've got something living on the inside of you. You've got God who robed himself in flesh, that came and lived on this earth, that died in 3 days, was risen again, that went into the heavens, but said, I shall not leave you comfortless. I'm leaving, but I'm coming back. I'm not just going to be in a place where you can come and hear me preach. I'm going to live on the inside of you. I'm not just going to be in a place where you can come to the Superdome and see somebody healed. Greater signs than these shall you do. I'm going to put something on the inside of you. You're not going to need to go to the Superdome to see a miracle. You can see a miracle in your own home. You're not going to need to go to Houston to see what God's doing. You can have revival in your own church and in your own place. I'm not just going to be in the temple, but I'm going to rent that veil, and I'm going to be inside of each and every one of you. Ooh. Ooh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What is it? This is that, Paul said. Peter said, this is that. Jesus, what do you want us to do? I want you to go to Jerusalem, and I want you to wait for me. What's going to happen? Something new is about to be developed into your life. If you'll be open, if you'll just open your spirit unto me, I'm going to do something new inside of you. If you'll bind yourself together in one mind, in one accord, if you come together and believe that I'm going to do something. Hey, where are you going? I'm headed home. You don't understand. Jesus said, go to Jerusalem and wait. Oh, but I've got things to take care of. I've got life. I've got stuff. Oh, I don't have anything that's more important than my relationship with Jesus Christ. I don't care what anybody else does. I'm going to do what Jesus asked me to do. What did he ask me to do? He told me to go to Jerusalem. He told me to wait until I receive the Holy Ghost. He told me to go to Jerusalem and wait until I am endued with power from upon high. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God every day. God, thank you for dying on Calvary and filling me full of your spirit. Thank you, God, for taking time out, God, that you stopped by my pew one day with my hands raised and you filled me full of the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence
of speaking in other tongues. I thank you, God, that this week, oh God, I was able to get into a place of prayer. And in prayer, God, you filled me up one more time, Jesus, as I bask in your presence, Lord. That this isn't just a one-time deal, but like Paul said, I speak with tongues more than ye all. It is something that I can get every day of my life. It is something that I can bask in to be in his presence. It's not just going to the temple anymore, but I can stop in my own room and my own house and say, Jesus, I need you. God, I need your presence. God, I want to be close to you. As we all stand this morning, Jesus, how do you feel about this? John 20 and 21, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Jesus, what is your opinion on this matter? Receive ye the Holy Ghost. What about people that afterwards say that it's just a one-time deal? Jesus said, I don't care what anybody else says. I don't care what my parents said. I don't care. It's what this word of God says. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Coast. What do you think about this, Jesus? What do you desire for me to do? Hey, I'm going to send the Comforter unto you, John 14 and 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. Jesus, what do you think about this situation? Luke 24 and 49, until ye are clothed with power from upon high. What is power from upon high? He says in Acts 1 and 5, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. That's Jesus' words. Nevertheless, I tell you that it is expedient for you that I leave. For if I do not leave, the Holy Ghost will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you this day, O God, for Pentecost. Lord, that it's not just a day of celebration. It's not just a day that the Jews celebrated for first fruits. It's not just a day that the Jews celebrated that it was 50 days after the Passover. That it was 50 days after, oh God, that everything changed, 50 days after the law was given. No, God, that it is something that has changed our lives and our world forever. Lord God, that it is something that we don't have to go to the temple in Jerusalem to find you, but we can find you, oh God, right here in Moss Bluff, Louisiana, at 999 Sam Houston Jones Parkway. That we can find you at our homes, oh God, that we can find you in our cars. Find you with our families at the dinner table. Sarah was a drug addict. She couldn't hardly hold a conversation, an adult conversation. She had blown her mind on crystal meth. And we had a drug rehab class at the church. And Sarah and Elwin were commanded by law to attend this class. It was on Wednesday nights. And after it was over, everybody would leave. They were only required to attend the class, not the service. And one night, we saw Sarah standing back there looking through. Wednesday nights later, she was sitting on the back row watching and listening. A few Wednesday nights later, she moved up a few rows. A few Sundays after that, she walked in on a Sunday morning. Her hair was falling out, her teeth were falling out. She just couldn't. Felt something that was that. she had been longing for. And one Sunday morning, Sarah walked to the altar. She lifted her hands. And she began to pray. She was too self-conscious of everybody else that was around. She went home and she began to open her Bible. She got the concordance out and she began to look up everywhere that it said Holy Ghost. And she began to read. Sitting there reading her Bible, smoking her cigarette on her back porch. You don't have to be perfect to get God. You just got to want Him. She set the cigarette down and she stood up on the back porch of her own house and she said, God, if this is real, if what I have been reading here today is real, all of these things that I've been reading that you've said that you want, that you desire, that you really want to come and live in somebody like me, that you want to be a part of my life, I want it. She lifted her hands into the sky and she began to ask Jesus to forgive her. And she told Jesus, God, I want you to come and live inside of me like they did on the day of Pentecost in the book of Acts. And by herself on her back porch, Sarah received the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking other tongues. At 45 years old, she made up her mind she was going to go back to college. She went to junior college. She enrolled at SFA. She began to attend college. I'm talking about somebody with a sixth grade education with her mind blown on crystal meth. 30 years of meth using. She graduated salutatorian at SFA with kids that were there on scholarship, and she received the Holy Ghost and said, God, I'm ready for a change. God said, the beautiful thing about the Holy Ghost is it's not just a one-time event. I will help you grow and change from this day forward. I remember when she walked across that platform and they gave her her degree. She was there with 24-year-olds. She was there with kids on scholarship. She was there with kids that had not blown their mind on drugs, that had given everything they had to their education. And she walked across that stage second in her class because God's just that big. God, I ask you right now that your spirit would move and flow in this place. If it's been a long time since you've spoken in tongues, today is your day. If you've never experienced Christ like we've talked about this morning, and there's something inside of you that says, God, if there's more of you out there, God, if there's more of you out there than I've experienced, oh God, Lord, I'm willing and ready to try that. Oh, Peter, what is this? This is that. Oh, I want it. I want it. I want it. As they begin to sing this morning, as we all begin together around the front.